Bibles, please, and open with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and this is the last for a little while in our series through the Psalms. We've been working through them in chunks. As you open there, this I got a quick story for you. It's not necessarily related, though I will tie it in. Do you think it's good to have a hunger for God's Word? Have you ever seen where somebody else has a hunger and that encouraged you? I was camping the last couple of days and doing some off-road motorcycling, which I greatly enjoy. And I always love it when there's opportunities for ministry out there. And yesterday, of course, was Saturday. And in the morning, a friend and I were getting ready to go out for our ride in the mountains. And we saw an older gentleman and a young guy ride their bicycles into where this tent camping area was. And I thought, that's a little unusual. It looks like they're biking across country, but they're setting up their tents Saturday morning. So we walked over and said hello, and the older gentleman, who was probably in his 60s or so, he had this accent. I said, wow, where's that nice accent from? And he said, Israel. And I said, wow. And so he was in his 60s, and this young guy in his 30s started asking a lot of questions, found out they're biking across from Minnesota to California. They did not know each other before the start of the bike trip. The older gentleman had put a note out, I'm looking for someone to bike across America with me, half of America. And the younger guy responded. The older guy was Jewish. The younger guy was a Christian. And so, you know, I told them that I pastor a church here in Pueblo and everything. The younger guy comes over to me and he says, hey, so do you happen to have a Bible? Yes, I do. I even have some commentaries because I get some good studying in at night when I'm camping. I go to bed by reading the Bible and studying commentaries. He said, could I borrow your Bible? Because I've been reading my Bible using my phone, but there's no signal here. And I really want to read my Bible today. And I said, wow, that's great. So I gave him this Bible right here, this big fat Bible. So he borrowed my Bible, and he said, what do I do when I'm done with it? Because we were heading off to the trail. They said, yep, I will leave the vehicle open. You just open the back door and just lay it on my stuff. Isn't it great when people have a hunger for the Word? I was encouraged by that. And I hope that you have a hunger for the Word too this morning. And we are in Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 could be titled many ways. And in fact, as we go through it, I may give you some alternative titles that were on the list of possibilities for this morning. But I settled on, we're all invited. We are all invited. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let me begin with a quiz. And if you've been here for some period of time, I expect you to pass the quiz. I'll help you. There are going to be two blanks. I'm going to quote something or state something that comes out of Scripture, and it's going to be blank, blank, and you're going to give me what goes into the blanks. You ready? I know certain ones who surely would get this, although a few who I know would get it aren't here. I think you're all going to get it. What God wants us to want from his word is blank, blank. Well, good, I'm hearing it here and there. Pure milk. By the time, just write that on my headstone when I'm dead. You know, first, because I say it all the time. 1 Peter 2, 1-3, God teaches us that what he wants us to want from his word is pure milk. And pure milk in 1 Peter 2 is a metaphor for truth. Today with the youth group, we're going to be talking about how to draw truth out of God's word, how to study God's word. And sometimes it's good to start with the simplest of truths. And as I studied this psalm, one simple truth that jumped out at me is we're all invited. And let me give you a study tip, which we're going to go over with the youth today. Once you draw out some simple truth, start asking questions and trying to answer them from the text. That's what we're going to do today. You're going to see it start out simple and it gets not complex. It just gets deeper and broader and richer. We're going to start here. We're all invited. Take a look at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Who? All you lands. Some of your Bibles say all the earth. This is an invitation. It could be a command, an instruction, an exhortation, but it is also an invitation. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who labor," or "all ye who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you," that's an invitation. This is an invitation to all the earth. We are in this psalm. That's you. If you're part of all the lands, if you're part of all the earth, you're invited, I'm invited, we're all invited. So now what we're going to do is we're just going to ask some questions to go through this psalm. There's going to be at least five of them. And you know, when I say at least five, there'll probably be more than that. We're all invited to what? Answer, thanksgiving at God's house. We're all invited to thanksgiving at God's house. Notice the inscription. Now, if you have a Bible that doesn't have inscriptions, get a new Bible. The inscriptions are not inspired, but they are ancient, and they're very helpful. This is the only psalm that has this particular inscription, a psalm of thanksgiving. That gives us maybe some indication of the background of this psalm. There's no express historical background given here. Some say that it was a psalm for a Thanksgiving feast. And if so, that's pretty interesting, because this is an invitation to all the earth to join in the Thanksgiving feast. Others say, this is looking forward, I kind of like this better, that this is a prophetic psalm that is looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ takes the throne to reign in his kingdom, and there will be a celebration Thanksgiving feast, and this invite goes out to all the earth, to all the lands. I think that fits the context of the previous psalms. We've been going through a series of enthronement psalms that have application for today, but they look forward to that great day when Jesus Christ will take the throne and set up his earthly kingdom. Either way, we're all invited to thanksgiving, and I said thanksgiving at God's house. Where do I get that? Well, take a look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That is inviting us to enter into the presence of God, to enter into his dwelling place, which in those days was the tabernacle or the temple. What is the dwelling place of God today? The church. Ephesians 2. You are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we're all invited to what? To thanksgiving at God's house. In the end times, yes, we're all invited to enter into God's presence in the end. God is inviting us to come and join in that Thanksgiving celebration, but there's application today. You're invited to Thanksgiving at church. You're invited to church. Is that true that everyone's invited to come to church? Yes, it is. I think one of the greatest ways that you can evangelize people when you struggle with this, and Sylvie and I were talking about, you know, it's difficult to know what to do with a neighbor, a friend. We were talking about evangelism in Sunday school. One of the greatest ways to evangelize is just invite someone to church. Hey, I want to invite you to come to church. I do that even when I'm camping. I met a guy out there, had a great time of fellowship with this guy named Bobby Jones from East Texas. And he's about in his 70s, and they were out there doing some four-wheeling, and he had this hat on that said faith. And I said, "Hey, I really like your hat." I said, "Are you a man of faith?" "Why, yes, I am." And that led to, we sat down and had a cup of coffee. We shared our testimonies with one another. We talked about the Lord. We talked about the old-fashioned gospel. It was great. And he came over to say goodbye yesterday, and he said, "Man, thank you for talking with me. I had such a great time." He said, "Hey, do you got a card or something?" And I said, "Yes, and I would like to invite you to come to church. You know, if you get up this way again," and he said, "Hey, we get through Pueblo." So I invited him to church. Who knows? Maybe he'll show up one day. Invite people to church. On our table in the foyer, I think we have little invitations that you could hand out at the store and say, "Hey, you're invited." To what? To church. First, the simplest truth here is we're all invited to what? To thanksgiving at God's house. By whom? Second question. By whom? Because if I, you know, imagine that you're at my house and I say, "Oh, we got an invitation." You say, "To what?" I go, "Well, to a wedding." You say, "Well, who's inviting us?" You'd want to know, right? We're being invited to Thanksgiving at God's house by God himself. But he's using a servant in Israel. That makes this pretty interesting. So the Psalms, sometimes we know who wrote them, and sometimes we don't. This one was probably written by David, We don't know for sure. You could say, well, where do you get that? If you remember, back in Psalm 95, just turn back there for a moment to Psalm 95. This also is an invitation, one of many. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, Psalm 95:1. You might remember when we get to Psalm 95:7, for he is our God, we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You see that? Okay, stay there. Turn back to 100. Notice verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We're the people, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See the connection? Now back to Psalm 95. Verse 7. For he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Do you know that that's quoted in Hebrews 3? Remember that? That's quoted in Hebrews 3, and it's attributed to David. So now we have a link, a connection, right? Psalm 95 is quoted in Hebrews 3 and is attributed to David. Psalm 95 has some things that are repeated in Psalm 100. Conclusion, probably David. There's another connection, and that is in 1 Samuel 7 and 1 Chronicles 17. 2 Samuel 7 and 1 Chronicles 17 are the Old Testament Davidic covenant passages where God made the promise to David of a future kingdom when a seed of David would take the throne and reign over his kingdom forever. These are enthronement psalms that we've been studying recently. And yes, there was an application for that day, but they look forward to that great day when the seed of David will take his throne and establish his kingdom on the earth. I think this is probably a psalm of David, but God is using David to give an invitation to all the nations, to all the Gentiles, to enjoy thanksgiving at God's house. And it is God who is speaking through David. We're all invited. To what? To thanksgiving at God's house. By whom? Who's inviting us? God himself. God himself is inviting all the nations to celebrate thanksgiving at his house. That's interesting. Especially given the context here, the setting here. This is back in the days of Israel. The nations are being invited to come and worship in God's house. We also know from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, right? Remember that verse? But holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to speak. God here is inviting all of us to thanksgiving at his house. That sounds good to me already. I like this invitation. Well, to do what? We're all invited to what? Thanksgiving at God's house. By whom? By God himself, through probably David. And third, to do what? I mean, what would we do there? You know, sometimes if you're invited to a wedding, you could say, well, I'm being invited to a wedding to do what? Celebrate. We're not inviting you to be the best man or part of the wedding party or to sing a song or to play. We're just inviting you to come and be there and be part of it. This isn't that. No, you're being invited to do seven things. You're being invited to take part in seven ways. So this is kind of the heart of this psalm. We are all invited to thanksgiving at God's house by God himself to do seven things. To make a joyful shout, verse 1. To serve the Lord with gladness, verse 2. To come before his presence with singing, verse 2. To know that the Lord is God, that it's he who made us and not we ourselves, that we're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, to be thankful and to bless his name. There are seven exhortations, invitations, instructions that tell us what we are all invited to do in God's house. Let's walk through them briefly. First, we're all invited to make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Anybody happen to know what the joyful shout was? What the joyful shout is? Is it just, woohoo! Amen. I mean, that's a joyful shout. But if you research this, it was, in that culture, the joyful acceptance that you expressed of the king, either when he took his throne or when he came back from some victory. If the king is ascending to his throne, your expression of you accept this one to rule over you was to shout some expression of joy. Or if the king was returning after some battle and had achieved the victory, your expression of joyful celebration was to shout something joyful. It didn't have to be one particular thing. It could be, Hosanna in the highest. Sound familiar? From the same Psalm 118 that Brother Don quoted from this morning. Right? We're all being invited to receive this king and to make a joyful shout as our expression of acceptance. What else are we invited to do? Serve the Lord with gladness. We're invited to serve this King, Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Israel. We're invited to give a joyful shout that expresses our acceptance of him as king, and then to serve this king as his subjects, and to do so willingly. And we're all invited. Third, we're all invited to come before his presence with singing. Doesn't mean that we all sing our own song so that it's just some cacophony of sounds. We're all invited to join in the celebration song. Songs that would exalt this king. Songs that would praise his name. Songs that would rejoice at who he is and what he's done. We're all invited. Let me just stop there for a moment by way of application and ask you, do you know, as a Christian, what is key to you joining in the singing? You happen to know? You may know. Perhaps your mind is going there. I want you to turn for a moment to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at two passages. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. GE Power Company. Go Eat Popcorn. All those little acronyms to try and help us remember. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. GEPC. Look at Colossians 3:16. This is a verse well worth committing to memory. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And stop there. I heard a sermon on my way to the mountains on the comma, where the comma should be placed in Jesus saying from the cross, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Very interesting, right? Jesus either said, I say to you, comma, today you will be with me in paradise. Or, I say to you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. Well, I won't go too long there. Look at Colossians 3:16 if you aren't there yet. Take a look. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I think there should be a comma there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the exhortation. That's the command. That's the instruction here. And then, there's an outflow of that. If you obey that command, if you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, then in all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another, or with all wisdom teaching and admonishing, is an outflow of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. With all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What is key to coming before the Lord with singing? It's letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is crucial. You want to know another key? It's similar. Turn. You can keep your finger here in Colossians 3:16. Look at Ephesians 5:18. Galatians, Ephesians. So back towards the front of your Bible, couple of pages, Ephesians 5, verse 18. Paul wrote both Ephesians and Colossians from prison or from, you know, he was in chains. He wrote them at the same time, and they are very parallel to one another. Ephesians 5:18. This is a parallel to Colossians 3:16. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in other words, intoxicated, letting wine influence you, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be so filled with the Spirit of God that that's influencing your life. You're under the influence of the Spirit. How do you do that? Parallel passage. You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is how you're filled with the Spirit. It's when the word of the Spirit is dwelling in you richly. But notice what he says. Verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Sound familiar? Exact same words as Colossians 3. Back to Psalm 100, we're all invited to what? To thanksgiving at God's house. By whom? By God himself. Well, to do what? To make a joyful shout to the Lord. In other words, gladly receive the Lord as our King. To serve the Lord with gladness. And part of that service is to come before His presence with singing. What would be the keys to that? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be in the Word of God. Let His Spirit influence you through His Word so that the outflow is you want to sing. You want to come to church. You want to be in the house of God. You want to serve Him with gladness. You gladly accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your King. Fourth thing we're invited to do. Okay, we're under question number three, part four. We're invited to do what? Well, to know, verse 3, to know that the Lord... Now, let's stop here for a second. You might think, yeah, we've heard this 100 times. Yahweh or Jehovah is the God of Israel. And all the lands, including all the Arabs, Palestinians, all the enemies of Israel and of God are being invited to receive Yahweh, the God of Israel, as their king. To serve this God, the God of Israel, as their God, and to serve Him with gladness. To come before His presence with singing and to know this Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, not some other God. This Jehovah, the God of Israel, He's God. That's meant to confront every false religion. That's meant to expose false worship of any other God. You are being invited to know that the God of Israel, Yahweh, who has revealed Himself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, all the Old Testament saints, He's God. There's no other. He is God alone. He is God. It is He who made us. He's our Creator. He made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. We belong to Him. And we are the sheep of His pasture. Remember, we studied that in Psalm 95. God is being presented as a shepherd who has a place, a pasture, where He wants to feed His sheep, where He wants to give them water, where He wants to cause them to lay down in green pastures, right? Where He wants to care for our souls, Psalm 23. Guess what? We're all invited to know that the God of Israel is God, that He's our Creator, that He's our shepherd, that He can give us rest, that He can feed our souls. We're all invited. To what? To thanksgiving at God's house. By whom? By God Himself through His servant, probably David. Well, to do what? To make a joyful shout, to serve the Lord with gladness, to come before His presence with singing, to know that this Lord is God, He's our Creator and our Shepherd. And then, verse 4, to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. The Gentiles are being invited by God to enter into the temple. You remember Ephesians 2? Most of us remember parts of Ephesians 2. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, right? We used to walk according to the lusts of our flesh, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ, has seated us in the heavenly places. And then it says, remember this, you Gentiles. Remember this. That you used to be, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting exactly. Remember this. You used to be strangers of God, you Gentiles. You were without God. You were without Christ. You were without hope. You had no hope in this world. And in that passage in Ephesians 2, he says, but now by the blood of Christ you've been brought near. Here's an Old Testament invitation to the Gentiles, to all the nations, to come near to God, to enter into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Listen, this had application in those days. If you were one of the Gentiles, this spoke to you. Like, you should be like, oh my goodness, the God of Israel is inviting me to come and take part of what Israel takes part in? Yes, we're all invited. There's application for us in the church. We're invited to enter into the house of God with thanks and with praise. And to be thankful to Him and to bless His name. What's the difference between being thankful and blessing? What is the difference between giving thanks and giving praise. Giving thanks is, thank you, God. Thank you, God, so much for loving me, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for saving me. That's direct to God. I'm thanking God. What's praise? Did you know that God forgives sins? Now I'm praising him. Did you know that God loves you? Do you know that God cares for you? Do you know that God can save you? Do you know that God can deliver you? Now I'm praising God because I'm telling you the truth that exalts him. Do you know that God is loving, compassionate, gracious, caring, tender-hearted? Giving, we're invited to come into his presence, give him thanks, but also speak highly of him to one another. We're all invited to do this. To what? Thanksgiving at God's house, that's question one. By whom? By God himself, through his servant, probably David. To do what? To do these seven things, to shout joyfully, to serve with gladness, to sing, to know that he is God, to give thanks, to praise, and to bless him. Question number four, why would we do that? Why would we come to Thanksgiving at God's house? Why would we want to come to church? Why would we want to go to heaven? Why would we want to accept this invitation? Why should we accept this invitation? Why ought you to accept this invitation? Because it's not just an invitation, right? God is giving it. It's an authoritative invitation. This is an invitation from heaven. Why would we do that? Three reasons. Verse 5. Reason number one is because the Lord is good. Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Israel, he's a good God. What does that mean? This speaks of his character. He is a good God. He loves what is right. He hates what is evil. I mean, you're that way. You have things you think are evil, and you hate those things. God is that way. By the way, this is a way to sometimes connect with someone who's an unbeliever. If you can find out that there's something evil that they hate, you say, hey, is there anything that you hate? I hate when people are judgmental. Hey, you know what? God hates that. You should get to know my God. He also hates things that are evil. The Lord is good. And I often go to Exodus 34, 6 and 7. You can write those on my headstone too. I've been thinking a lot about headstones lately. I did meet with a funeral home this week to talk about my demise. And I'm not informing you of anything. Well, I can inform you of this. We're all dying. I can also tell you that we don't know when it's going to happen. I've also become increasingly convinced that you are probably obeying the golden rule if you pre-plan how that ought to look when you die. So I've been giving that some thought. I've been giving a lot of thought to the golden rule and thinking that probably I would be doing my children a favor if I let them know some of my wishes and maybe do some pre-planning. So anyways, I met with a funeral home this week, and my mind often goes to Exodus 34, 5, 6, and 7, which could be on my gravestone. The Lord God, and here's his goodness. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness and truth. He keeps loving kindness for thousands, which means he keeps his commitment to love people, right? He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, and yet there's no way that he'll leave the guilty unpunished. That's a good God. And that's why you should accept the invitation to come to his house for Thanksgiving and sing and worship and praise and exalt him and encourage others to do the same. There's a second reason. His mercy is everlasting. Does anyone have a different word for mercy? Shout it out. Loving kindness. It's that old Hebrew word, chesed. Say it with me, chesed. You like to say it. Come on, you know, all the guys, you like to say that. Chesed. It's the word for God's faithful love, his covenant love. If he sets his love on you, that love will never go away. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, people will. Amen? Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say it, amen, because it's not a happy news. People will forsake you. They will leave you. They will go away. Right? I thought you were my friend. God never will. His mercy is forever. And I see I've got a little time. I want to show you something real quick because it's going to be a long time till we get to Psalm 136. Turn here for a second. Maybe I'll die before we get to Psalm 136. And in that case, I want you to know what's here. Psalm 136. I want this on my gravestone too. Make it a really big one. Psalm 136, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I used to think that this is like the Department of Redundancy Department. But it's not. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You see the connection? That's what we just read in Psalm 100. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. I used to think, well, why do they keep repeating that line? You want to know why? I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to prove it to you. You know why the line keeps getting repeated in Psalm 136? Because that truth is the explanation for everything. That truth is the explanation for everything. Why did God help you to sell your house? Oh, that's because his mercy endures forever. Why did God make clear to you which direction you should go in life? That's because his love endures forever. Why did God give you an opportunity to talk about Jesus at the campground? Oh, that's because his mercy is forever. Really? Yes. Look at Psalm 136. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Verse 4, to him who alone does great wonders. Why does God do great wonders? Oh, that's because his mercy is forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. Why did God make the heavens? Oh, that's because his mercy endures forever. And they're like a testimony that his mercy is forever. Jump down to verse 10. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. Hey, why did God strike down the firstborn of Egypt? Oh, that's because his mercy is forever. Really? Yeah, and you have to think through. God had set his love on Israel. He promised that he would deliver them from bondage in Egypt. So why did he do it? By finally striking Egypt with a plague to kill all the firstborn of Egypt, but not a single firstborn of Israel? Oh, that is because his mercy is forever. And you go through, and it gets down into details. And I tell you, beloved, you think about every single good thing that happened to you in the past week. And I will tell you, you know why that happened? It's because his mercy is forever. You know why you should accept the invitation to Thanksgiving at God's house? It's because his mercy is forever. This is a God who deserves your praise, deserves your singing, deserves your thanks, deserves your loyalty, which is the joyful shout. There's a third reason. And his truth. Some of your Bibles say his faithfulness. I think it's his truth. And I think it's this truth. And this truth of God is to all generations. Boy, that's good news for when we're dead and gone. You know, if the Lord tarries and if he doesn't come soon and we're all dead and gone 100 years from now, we'll all be gone, right? And there's this generation, your great-grandkids and your great-greats, they're here. And you think, oh my goodness, what kind of a world are they going to grow up in? Well, I'll tell you this, they're going to grow up in a world where this truth is still around and will still be preached by God's people. You do not have to worry and fret that, oh my goodness, what kind of a world are my great-great-grandchildren going to grow up in? Whatever kind of world that is, this truth that God is good and his mercy is forever will still be there, will still be true, and will still be preached. We just finished the study of Revelation, right? And even in the very end of the end times, God is proclaiming the gospel to everyone. This is good news, beloved. We're all invited. Well, to what? Thanksgiving at God's house. Well, by whom? By God himself. Well, what are we going to do there? To do what? To make a joyful shout to the Lord and show that we accept him as our king, to serve him with gladness, to come into his presence with singing, to know that he's God, he's our creator, we're his, and he's our shepherd, and we're his sheep. We're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We're going to express our thanks to him. We're going to bless his name, which means we're going to speak highly of him. Why would we want to do that? Because God is good. His love is forever. And that truth is to all generations. Question number 5. We're on 5, right? To what, by whom, to do what, why. Now, if I just told you, hey, we're all invited over to Brian's house for steaks, we'd all go, good, we're coming. What can we bring? Question number 5, what can we bring? So I want to tell you, and this would be another great title for this psalm. See, Thanksgiving at God's house. I was going to title it Thanksgiving at God's house. That'd be good. But I thought we're all invited is better. I could title it What to Bring to Church, and that was how I was going to title it. 4 things to bring to Thanksgiving at God's house. Notice the repetition, fourfold repetition of the word with. Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with what? gladness. I mentioned that to Brother Don, and he said, oh, like bring a good attitude. Yeah, I like that. Bring gladness into the house of God. Look, leave your grief. I get it. We grieve. When you come to the house of God, try to put that aside. It's not always possible, but here's what to bring to church, and here's what to bring to heaven. Bring gladness. Something for which you're glad. You know, I was grieving this week over such, but you know what? And I was grieving this week over something. Some of you know what I was grieving over. But you know what? I was very encouraged. Brother Tony gave me a call on Thursday, and he said, I just want to encourage you, Pastore. I love you, brother. Hang in there. I don't want you to know I'm not vying to get your job. And he meant that as good news. I don't want your job. Forgive me, Tony, that's probably, I went over into Scottish or something there. We do better on New York, don't we, Brian? Yeah, give me a cup of coffee and we're fine. A large buttered popcorn, which is Boston. All right, where were we? What can we bring? Number one, gladness. Number two, notice verse 2, come before his presence with singing. I'm not a worship leader, but if I was one, and I don't know if Dan has this, I think if I was leading in singing and I saw people not singing, I'd be like, hey, I might call them out. Joel, you're not singing. And get them singing. All right? This is what to bring to church. Yeah, we don't have great voices. Not all of us can sing like me. I caught you there, right? Thought I was going to say somebody else. Not all of us can sing like Pastor Dan and Randy and many others here who can sing. We can't all sing like the choir. And yet we're all invited to join the singing. Bring singing. Bring a desire to sing. Number three, what can we bring? Thanksgiving. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I've always had great appreciation. I know Pastor Drew is one who keep track of things, right? You write things down, and I don't know. Maybe one day I will. But I heard of a couple. I heard this story of a young couple who for a year had this jar in the center of their kitchen table, and every once in a while they'd write, I'm so thankful for this, and they put the date, and they put it in that jar, and at the end of the year, they reviewed the year's things they were thankful for. I like that. That's a great way to end the year. But you know what? We don't have to have a jar. On a week-to-week basis, we should have things that we're very thankful for. Don, tell Miss Anita I was very thankful for her on Monday. You know, sometimes at table talk, Miss Anita and I, we start, you know, arm wrestling. And I usually lose. She'll say, well, I think it could mean this. And she'll have some interpretation that I'm thinking, I don't know if that's exactly the right interpretation. And then I'll say, well, you know, it could mean that, but it really means. But you know what? Afterwards, this week, we started a tangle. And afterwards, I put my arm around her. I said, Anita, you're one of my most favorite people. You really are. I love you. And I love that you are not afraid to express what you think, the thoughts that come to mind. And I love that. And I encourage you, keep coming until you can look around and say, I love these people. Isn't that great? And it takes a long time. When Don and Anita first started coming, Don and I would tangle, wouldn't we, Don? We hardly tangle anymore. Now we just talk about dirt biking and camping and cold weather and things like that. It takes time until we overlook each other's uniquenesses and idiosyncrasies, and we just love each other. I'm thankful for that. Come with thanksgiving, things that you're thankful for. I'm thankful for those opportunities I had at the campground to share the gospel and encourage fellow believers. And what's the fourth thing? Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Things you can say about God that exalt him. That's praise. Come with things you can tell other people that exalt God. Man, isn't Christ good? Isn't it amazing that he came into this world to save sinners like us? Isn't it great how patient he is with us? Oh, that we could be patient like that with each other. That's praise. That's when you're speaking about God and about Christ to exalt God in Christ. That's what to bring to church. We're all invited to what? Thanksgiving at God's house. By whom? By God himself. To do what? To do everything this psalm calls us to do. Why would we do that? Because God is good, his mercy is forever, and his truth endures to all generations. Well, what can we bring? We can bring gladness and singing and thanksgiving and praise. Question number 6. Well, should we accept? I do. I think you should too. I think you should accept the invitation. You should say, wow, you're inviting me to your house for Thanksgiving? Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Thank you for inviting. I want to come. I believe you. I believe that you're good. I believe that your love is forever. I believe that you love me. I accept your invitation. Listen, if you're here today and you've never accepted God's invitation to come to Him, I beg you, accept today. Say, God, I accept. What do I need to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Turn from your sins. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sinful lifestyle. If you're living some sinful lifestyle, if we could see your week in review and you're just off in some godless direction, then I call upon you today. Repent. Turn around. You're on the wrong road. You're on the road to hell. Don't keep going that road. Don't think, oh, I've got time. You don't have time. Turn around today. Yeah, now what? I think we should accept. Last question, number 7. And if not? And if I don't accept? So turn to Luke 14 in closing. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, very familiar parable. The parable of the great feast, maybe the great Thanksgiving feast. Luke 14. Now when one of those who sat at the table with Jesus, I'm beginning Luke 14, verse 15. When one of those who sat at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many." See the invitation? Many were invited. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." This is the invitation, right? Come to the feast, come to my house. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. Oh, you ever hear people make excuses about church? Ugh. Yeah, you know, I would come, but... Look, we can't all come all the time to church. And there is application in Psalm 100 for coming to church. We can't all come all the time to church. But we ought to come. And we ought to come when we can. They all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said, "Oh, I bought a piece of ground and I need to go see my land. Yeah, I can't come. I just bought a piece of land and we got things to do up there at the cabin or at the camp. Otherwise, I'd be in church." That's a common one. Another said, verse 19, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them out. I just bought blank," fill in whatever the blank is, "I just bought a new car. I need to go test it out." Just bought a new tractor. Bought a new dirt bike. He's not saying it's sinful to buy something. It's sinful to use that as an excuse to reject the invitation of God. Still another said, verse 20, "I've married a wife, so I obviously can't come." I need to give more thought to that one, how that's an excuse. Verse 21, "So the servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house, being angry..." Stop. Why? It's not just an invitation, is it? It's not just, well, come if you can, but if you can't, I often will say no worries to a lot of things. But this isn't that. This isn't, come to Thanksgiving, God says we can, but no worries if you reject. No. "Being angry, he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And they did." Verse 22, "The servant said, 'Master, it's been done as you commanded, and there's still room.'" Here's the mercy of God. Verse 23. "Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in so that my house might be filled. For I tell you that none of those men who are invited shall taste of my supper.'" Matthew Henry on these verses, and I'll close with this. In this parable, observe the free grace and mercy of God shining in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which will be a feast for the soul of anyone who knows his soul's wants and miseries. Yet many found a pretense to put off their attendance. They found an excuse. This reproves the Jewish nation for their neglect of the offer of Christ's grace, and it also shows the backwardness of others, the want of gratitude in those who provoke him. The apostles were to turn to the Gentiles when Jews refused the offer of the gospel, and with Gentiles the church was filled. Provision was made for precious souls in the gospel of Christ and was not made in vain. For if some reject, others will thankfully accept the offer. My final question was, so what if you reject? I feel sorry for you. If you reject the invitation of Jesus Christ to come to Him, if you reject the invitation of God to come to His house for thanksgiving, to accept Jesus Christ as your King, to have all your sins forgiven, to be given the gift of eternal life, if you reject that and you have some excuse, I feel sorry for you. And I pray that you won't reject today. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for this reminder of the great invitation to the Thanksgiving feast in your house, which one day will be celebrated when Jesus Christ ascends to his throne and establishes his kingdom on earth. Until then, Father, help us to be like those who go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges and invite people to come. And thank you for inviting us. Thank you for giving us a heart to accept the invitation. Help us, until that day comes, to come into your house with thanksgiving and praise and singing and gladness, that we might rejoice in your presence because you are good. Your love is forever, and your truth endures. In Jesus' name, amen.